This is Victrios.
Psalm 121, I'll read from verse 1 to 7, and then another scripture reading will be Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, 4 to 8. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, verse 4 to 8, and we'll read verse 22. If you wanted to title what I'm going to speak about this morning, you can call it Advantage. I want you to beat your chest and say loud and clear, say, in the name of Jesus, I will walk this week, this month, this last half with an advantage, heavenly advantage. Say it loud and clear, say, heavenly advantage is what I enjoy. Bible says in Psalm 121 from verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Question. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. I thought that person was here this morning. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Then look at verse 5. He says, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day. What is hurting other people will not hurt you. The environment that is not working for other people will not work against you. I declare that that office that people have been saying, this office is not good, is a headquarter, is messing up people, it will not mess you up. I thought you would say louder, amen. It says the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you. I'm praying for somebody and their family. The Lord will keep you. It will keep you from all harm. Stray bullet will not be your portion. Accidental accident will not be your portion. In the name of Jesus, going out, you are safe. Coming in, you're safe. At home, you're safe. Everywhere you find yourself, you're safe. If you can say louder, amen, to be your faster. It says the Lord will keep you. There is a power to keep, sir. It's not because we live in a country like America that we are kept. There are people that are living here, they are not safe. I have found situations where there are people that lived in the United States for forever. And they made a trip somewhere around the world and they died there. If God doesn't keep you, you are not safe. I declare over you, the Lord will keep you. He says he will keep you from all harm. You see, the thing about harm or danger is that there are only few of them that you know. The major dangers that are existing, you don't even know they are there. You don't see them. The Bible was saying in that scripture, it says the sun will not smite you by day. That means that there are times that even the elements will be against people. People will find that the same sun that people, every other person, it will now be adverse to some other people. But I declare God will keep you from all harm in the name of Jesus. It says he who watches over your life. Move on. He will watch over your life. Oh, okay. And the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever in the name of Jesus. Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 26 from verse 4 to verse 8. Acts 26 from verse 4 to verse 8. The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child. This is Paul speaking here. He was in a trial. And he says the Jewish people know all the way that I have lived. Ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem, they have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I conform to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. 7. This is the promise. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Verse 8. Why should anyone consider it incredible that God raises the dead? Question. Why should anyone think that miracles don't still happen? Why should anyone conclude that their case is beyond God? Why should anyone be in church this morning and not know that we are not playing church? We are not just here to hear Bible story, but there is God that is still at work. God can still do miracle. And in the name of Jesus, this week you will see the hand of God. You see, the challenge with many of us, or with even religion, the word religion, is that you can go through rites, you can go through rituals, you can go through things, and you may lack the power, you can lack the essence of what you are really even going through. There are people that come to church day and night, and immediately they step out from church, it is as if nothing that happened in church affected them. They are still going about life as if they never came to God. They are still going about life as if there is no advantage that is possible. And Paul is asking this question. Why should people think an advantage can happen? Why should people think that there is God in heaven and all he does is just to just keep this earth, sun coming up and moon and all of that? That's the only thing he does. There are no advantages he gives to his people. Why is it that we have turned the Bible to just books, storybooks and tales by moonlight kind of thing? Why is it that we are not experiencing? Why should people think it's incredible for God to raise the dead? If there is anything dead in you, why should you think it's too late? Why should you think that God cannot hear you? Why should you think I have been praying and fasting? Why should you think that it's too late for you? I have come to tell you this morning, God is still in the business of raising dead people, and I command every deadness, everything that is dead in you, to hear the word of life this morning and come back to life in the name of Jesus. Paul is asking this question. Why are you people thinking it's incredible? Until today, people are still thinking so. There are sometimes we don't think it's incredible to raise the dead, but we think it's incredible for God to fix legal issues. We think it's too late. You know, if God had helped me, if I had gotten that information early, if I get all that. But can I tell you this? Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13 and verse 8, the same yesterday and today and forever. If God has ever done any miracle before, he can still do it today. If God has ever helped people before, he can still help today. I am not far gone. Things are not far too bad for my God to deal with. In fact, the more terrible it is, the better for God. In John 11, when Jesus came to Lazarus's house, they started crying and Jesus joined them to cry. And they thought that what that meant is this. It is final. This guy is dead and dead. If Jesus too can admit that this guy is dead, then he's really dead. And then Jesus had to talk to them and said, it is possible for Lazarus to see rise. And where he said, well, I know it is. On the resurrection day, he will rise. And Jesus said, resurrection is not an event. It's a person. I stand before you. I am resurrection and life. When I stand before you, resurrection can happen anytime. It's not about one calendar day that will happen. But resurrection is standing before you. You are listening to resurrection this morning. I command in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, everything that is dead, hear the word of God and come to life in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, look, I am the resurrection and the life. Some Bible scholars said, if Jesus did not say, Lazarus, come forth. If Jesus had just said, come forth, every dead will strive and they will come forth. Because nothing can refute that voice. Nothing can say no to him because it's life himself. So Paul is asking the question, why do you think it's incredible? Why do you think God can help you? Have you factored in the help of God? Have you factored in God in all these things that you are talking about? All the trouble that you have mentioned now, have you factored in God? Because God is at advantage. Look at your neighbor, say, I got advantage. Oh, you can say it loud and clear. Say, I have advantage. Let's move to verse 22. Let's just jump because of time. Because Paul was having this conversation with them and talking to these Jews. He was in trial. They were having all kind of issues with him. And he took them through history lesson. Then in verse 22, I like what he said there. Let's move to verse 22. Acts chapter 26 and verse 22.
Acts 26 and verse 22. The Bible said there. Is it coming up? Acts 22. Okay, that's it. He said, but God. Can somebody say, but God? You know, because whenever you see but, other things have been happening. Paul has been saying how things had been happening to him, how his experience had been, how his journey has been. Like some people are listening to me. If you are writing your story, you can write about all kinds of things that have happened. And Paul was saying all kinds of things. He said, but God, I am praying that this service is that but service for you. That God steps into the equation in the name of Jesus. He says, but God has helped me to this very day. But God has helped me. So what happened to me was the result of help. My advantage is the help I received from God. Because Paul was telling them this. I have been a Pharisee. I have had a past. In fact, in other places which I'll get to later on, he was telling them this, that look, I have been disadvantaged. You know that it is possible that Paul was alive when Jesus was alive. Hello? Because, I mean, at this time that these whole things were happening, the church had just started. And for Paul to have been like in the, let's even say he was in his 20s. Maybe Jesus died a few years. If I am Paul, I would have been asking myself, Jesus, why are you saving me now? What happened to saving me 10 years ago? What happened to me meeting Jesus? Do you understand what it means like to meet Jesus? I mean, I have met many great men of God. This trip that I went to, I mean, it's as if I shouldn't take my bath again. I laid hands on me. Men, mighty men of God that will just speak. The way we sometimes, the way we close their eyes, they will just say something. It will happen. Lay hands on me. Men of God, I'm excited about it. How much more Jesus himself? You have opportunity to have met Jesus and you didn't meet him. Anytime Paul is praying or preaching, I bet the devil will be saying, you came late. You are too late. How I wish you had come 10 years ago. If you had seen Jesus, if you had seen Jesus in the flesh, and you know, you'll be hearing stories that then Peter will be talking about that. Jesus was something, man. He was always praying. So Paul seemed to have come late. But he said, but God, there are people listening to me this morning. It might appear that you are late. Late in childbearing, late in going to school, late in getting married. But hear the word of God. But God sends you help in the name of Jesus. He says, but God has helped me to this very day. So I am standing here to testify before the small and great because I've received the help of God. Quickly, let me run through this. What makes a man stand? What makes people stand in their generation? What makes people stand in their nation? What makes people stand in their family? Or what even makes people stand out? Because there are sometimes people are standing and all you can see about them is average. They are standing, they are there, they are existing, but they are not standing out. But what makes a man to stand out, to even come out of the average? What even makes a man to be an outlier, an outstanding person like Paul? Because Paul, even though he came late, he became like the bigger guy. Two-thirds of the New Testament was written by this guy that never met Jesus. This guy that was not with Jesus. It wasn't that you would have thought that people like Peter and James and John, Jesus would have told them some stories. Maybe even told them the story of the creation. If they asked him and they didn't just document, because the Bible tells us in Acts, he said, if everything Jesus had done had been documented, there would be no book to have put it inside. So there were many things that happened in the time Jesus was here that we don't have in what we call the Bible today. But even that those people had that access. Paul came late, but Paul still had help from God. And that help made him to stand out, made him to be outstanding. I'm speaking over you this morning. And this is what you will experience this week. The very help of God in the name of Jesus. So what makes a man to stand out, to be outstanding, is the amount of help he receives. Our being outstanding in life is directly proportional to the help we receive, even if you are not even a child of God. Being outstanding in life is a function not only of skill, not only of talent, excuse me, not only of location where you find yourself, not only of people that gave birth to you, the kind of help that you have received. Read the biographies of great men. Any great man, just close your eyes, pick anyone.
Every one of them, you will just see, they will have some unknown person in their history. There will be one human being that nobody knows about. That person introduced the book to them. That person introduced them to something. That person did this. That person did that. By the reason of that help, you will just find out that these people moved on. In some instances, you will even find out that these people, they experienced that help irrespective of the opposition that was against them. I'm speaking over you this morning. You will experience help in the name of Jesus. So the amount of help a man receives is how far that man will go. So every man is at the mercy of help. Thank you very much. Every man is at the mercy of help. So the help we receive will determine how far we go. Every man. Every man. I was in Nigeria now. Then church was happening here. I didn't even call. Did I call you people? I didn't call. Everything was happening. How can that happen? That I will be in Nigeria. The church that I'm supposed to be looking after is here. But I'm not calling, because even when I'm physically here, the only thing I really do is to hold this mic when it's my turn. Every other thing, people do it. Help. Help. I'm praying for you in the name of Jesus. God will send you people to help you. I thought your amen would be louder. When we started this year, one of the scriptures that we read was Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, because we believe that this year was the year of the Spirit, or is the year of the Spirit. And Zechariah 4, 6 says, "It is not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." If you replace the word Spirit there, because later on Jesus, when we go to John chapter 14, tells us that that Spirit is called the Helper. So you can agree that that scripture can also be said that it is not by power, it is not by might, but by my help. So where we go in life is by His help. So the advantage you really need in life is the help that comes from God. And that help will locate you in the name of Jesus. So the story of Paul is a classical example of the story of help. Because he detailed that story. If you get home, go and read Acts of the Apostles chapter 26. It's like a summary of the story of Paul. How Paul journeyed through life. How Paul moved through life. And how he got to where he got to at that time. He kind of summarized the story. And if you wanted to give it a title, it is help. Paul was help. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. The Bible said, Paul speaking here, he said, "The reason I have become what I have become is not even because I went to theology school. It's not the kind of schools I went to. It's not the fact that I'm a Pharisee or Pharisee. It's not the fact that I'm learning, I'm a lawyer. It is because of the grace of God." Another word for the help of God. It is because of that grace that I am standing. So I am what I am by the help of God. So it is help that has made me. I am helped. The advantage that I have is the help of God. And remember, I have said before, Paul started late. He himself said it in 1 Corinthians 15:9. He said, "I am the least of the apostles. For I am the least of the apostles, and don't even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church, because I was fighting against what I should be fighting for. I was pushing against what I should be pushing for." Just like some of us, there are some things that we should be for, there are some things that we should be working with, and we are working against it. There are some people that you think are on your side, they are against you. There are some people that you think are against you, that are for you, and you are pushing them away. See that in this business of pastoring. You know, you see some things and you be like, if only this person knows how this person is. Because sometimes the people you think are for you are against you, and the people you think that are against you are for you. So Paul was saying, look, I was against what I should be for. I had a past that should hold me down, but my past didn't hold me down. There are people listening to me this morning. You have things, you have reason in the natural why you shouldn't do well. There are things that you have done, and the devil is a master of telling you those things. He doesn't shy away from that. Sometimes when you are kneeling down to pray, or praying whenever you are praying, the devil reminds you of what you didn't do well. He tells you some things that didn't happen well.
But can I tell you this? God factored in your mistake. God factored in the error. God factored everything, and even with all of those things, his help is still valid. Can somebody say amen? Because many times the devil puts us in this corner where we come to the place where we begin to think, well, I know there is help of God, but it's not valid again because of my past. It's not valid again because of what I've done. Now understand me that your past should not dictate your present, but you should not hold on to your past. Don't continue in your past and expect your future to be different. So you cannot have a bad past. There can't be some things that you have done in the past, and you now say, because I did these things, I can't go to the present, so I will continue there. No, the help of God won't do anything for you there. You have to leave that past, whether it's a good past or terrible past, and embrace what God is doing in the now, and God will take you into the future. Can I get an amen to that? So our past don't have to hold us down. So the pastor Paul, which was supposed to be a persecutor of the church, a terrorist in our modern day world. Imagine a terrorist now becoming the forerunner of the gospel of Christ. God is a merciful God. God, there are no rejects with God. You know, in factories and places where people work, there are things that people say, this one, we can't use this one. They put it aside. Because when they were going through production line, something went wrong. So these are factory jets. Even factory jets, God can use them. Even people that people thought, this one is finished, this one is useless, God can still use them. They are useful. I want you to say to yourself, say, I'm useful to God. And his assignment for my life, in Jesus' name. So Paul was limited because he didn't know the Lord well. The Lord was on earth. But his limitation did not stop the possibilities of God. I've come to say this morning, I don't know if I'm preaching or if I'm prophesying, but I've come to say that possibilities are available in God, and your limitations don't have to stop the possibilities of God. Will you receive possibility in the name of Jesus? All right. So we can understand from the story of Paul that Paul had an advantage. And many of us, we also have the same advantage. You know, sometimes when we talk about Paul and people in the Bible, it is very, people remove themselves from it because they feel like, well, it's Paul. look at the experience of Paul in that Acts chapter 26. He said, at the noonday, I saw a bright light and I heard a voice telling me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul. So if that person was from some tribe in Africa, you know, Ghana, and then hear a voice in the Twi language say, Saul, Saul. So somebody saying to me, Pastor, that's the issue. I have not heard a voice like that. I have not heard my name and say, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, in my mother tongue. I have not heard it. So Paul is different. No, he's not. You have the same spirit. You have the same faith. You have the same baptism. It is the same Lord. And it's rich to all that call upon his name. If he did it for Paul, he can do it for you. So God is your advantage. And how can we leverage our advantage? Quickly this morning, as I begin to put this to a close. Using our advantage. Number one. And this we see in the story of Paul. The first thing you and I need to do with the advantage that God can be in our life, and God can now create in our life, because God is the major advantage. He can now create other advantages from him. Because the psalmist said in that scripture that we read, I will look unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made my heaven and earth. All of my help comes from that God. But you see, what God will now do is that he will now use human instrumentality. He will use human systems. He will use human things to now make that help real to you. But the help is from him. The advantage is from him. So how can I use, how can I embrace, how can I enjoy fullest the advantage I have in God? The first thing you need to do is accept your need for help. Accept your need for help. It's very simple but yet profound. There are many people who do not seemingly accept that they need help. The way they do their lives, the way they calculate, the way they plan everything, the way they work, the way they even organize their daily schedule, it shows that they have not factored the fact that they need help. Some people would rather work hard
I've had people say things like this: I labored for everything I got. Those kind of people, they have forgotten that there are advantages in life. If you did everything by yourself, if it was all your struggle, if it was all your strength, you'll be limited. There are things that God has for you that you cannot do by yourself. There are things that God has for you that you, even when there was no sin, remember? When there was no sin, God told Adam that it is not good for you to be alone. It is not good for you not to have help. You cannot fulfill everything I have called you to do by yourself, Adam. There was no sin then. There was no devil deceiving anybody then. And God said you still needed help when there was no sin. So the first thing you and I need to understand to enjoy the advantage that God can be to us, and understand this, this advantage can show up in every area of life. It can show up in finances. It can show up in ministry. It can show up in your marriage. God will just give you an advantage. I mean, it will be something that you will try to explain it with words and you find reason, but the truth of the matter is, it's an advantage that God gave you. The first thing is this: you have to accept you need help. Accept you need help. You know, I thank God for the generation that we found ourselves, because we're the generation of light, we're enlightened and all that. But you see, the challenge of this generation, because of so many things that we have known, is that we are a little proud. We think we know a lot of things. We think we are self-sufficient. There is that level of self-sufficiency. You know, maybe because of Ask Google or Ask Siri, or you know, all these people that you can ask and you can seemingly do it yourself. Especially in a country like America, everybody is a good doctor. Everybody is a, you know, they can't prescribe drugs, but at least they tend to know how to deal with everything. And so because of that, many times people fail to acknowledge the fact that they need help. I mean, if you see in the story of Paul, he's always saying he needs help. That's what he was saying in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 to 10 that we have read before. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 to 10. He was saying, look, I am the least. I am small. There is something about when you look at yourself the way God looks at you, when you understand in yourself that you are not sufficient of yourself, you just find yourself doing big things. You know, one of the things that I saw in this, my trip to Nigeria, just observation from some wonderful great men of God, is that there is something about greatness that is locked inside humility. If you really want to see somebody that is very, very great, I mean, not great on paper, but really, 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 really great, because great, real greatness is greatness that even heaven and earth agrees that this person is great. That's real greatness. You will see that greatness has a level of humility inside of it. That's what I saw in this my trip. I will see people that I'm, in my mind, I'm thinking, this person should be like, are you kidding me? He should be living the life and looking large. And they were so simple and so gentle and so approachable and so able to, I mean, you're just wondering that, are you kidding me? But it is because they have accepted that they are small people in relation to God. God now lifts them up. Is that not what 1 Peter chapter 5 and 7 was saying? It says that God resists, he resists the proud and give grace to the humble. There is something about when we accept our need for help, that help will show up. This week, accept your need for help and help will show up for you in the name of Jesus. So using your advantage, as accept your need for help. Another thing is, you now need to activate that help. You now need to activate that help. In the coming weeks, we are going to give opportunity for us to activate this help in different ways. But you see, help can be available and it will be useless or unuseful. The Holy Spirit, by nature, if you have given your life to Jesus, is available to you. But the Holy Spirit may not be happening or doing anything in you unless you engage him. Unless you activate him. Unless you make him work. Unless you make him happen. Unless you permit him to walk. There are many times when we come to a service, for example, sometimes if the service is going on normally and then we sing a song and then we wait a little bit and then we see the move of the Holy Spirit. Why did he not move when we didn't sing that song? He didn't move because we have not activated him. It is like a debit card that you get from a bank. You have the money in the bank. The card is in your hand. But they put on that card, they say, call a particular number or do some certain steps so that this card will be active. There are many people who have not activated the help of God. They have accepted their need for help, but they now need to move a step further and activate it. Prayer is one way of activating the help. You see, whenever we are praying, one of the things we are doing is that we are making room for God to move. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible said, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, whenever you are praying, say this: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is he saying? What you are doing in prayer is this: you are activating the will of God, which is already active in heaven. You are making it active on earth. Many people don't understand and know that you have a part to play in this advantage that God can give you. You have to activate it. Prayer is an activator. Fasting is an activator. Coming to church like this, fellowship, because you see, one of the things that happened, because sometimes I ask myself the question, why do we even need to come to church? But if you read Hebrews chapter 10 and get to verse 25, the Bible said something about fellowship. When you come together, when I come and you come, something happens there. In Hebrews 12, the Bible was talking about different mountains. And then he gets to the point, I think about 22, going back to 24. He said, you have not come to the same mountain like you found on Mount Sinai and the other mountains, but you have come to Zion. And he now said that Zion is not a location. Zion is an experience that happens when there is fellowship. When brother A and brother B comes together and there is fellowship, what happens is that they are not just going to be fellowshipping with one another. The spirits of just men made perfect will be there. There will be angels, innumerable angels that will be there. And Jesus the judge will also be there. You can't exactly have Mount Zion outside of the context of that fellowship. So how do I activate advantage? Activating the place of prayer. We are going to be praying toward the end of this month. Last 3 days of this month, we are going to pray again like we did in the beginning of the month. We are going to pray because you see, help is there, but we have to activate it. We have to put in the passcode. We have to do some things just to lock ourselves into the hell, just to put ourselves in that flow, because we are not the one that created the help. We are not the one that created the move, the flow, but all we do is place ourselves in that flow so that the flow will carry us. And I'm declaring this year will be your best year yet in the name of Jesus. So you activate that help. You activate that help in the place of prayer. I mean, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 18, Paul was telling them, he said, look, I pray more than you all. No wonder he had an advantage. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, he was talking to a church that was supposed to be very spiritual. This was the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth was a very, very, very interesting church. The gifts of the Spirit was very manifested there. And he was telling them this. He said, look, I pray a lot. The reason I see a lot of help, the reason I see advantage like this, is because I activate the help. One of the ways we can activate that help is in the place of prayer. So you need to acknowledge your need for help. You need to activate the help. And now you need now to appreciate the flow of help. So you accept it, you activate it, and then you appreciate for it. When help shows up in your life, if you celebrate the fact that the help has come, another one will come. There are many times when people are asking for help from God and he helps them, but they keep quiet. They don't say anything about it. But the more you appreciate God for the flow of help, the more you see more of the help. We see another experience in the life of Paul, how he shows that he is always grateful that God shows him help. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 12, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, he was speaking to Timothy. He says, I thank my God. I thank Jesus Christ, who has given me strength, who has helped me.
Now some other translation says, who has enabled me and consider me trustworthy, appointing me to the service. Look at the mundane thing that Paul is thanking God for. He's not even thanking God for getting a car. He's thanking God that God appointed him to be a minister. That same experience that he was telling Agrippa. Because you remember in this Acts 26 that we were talking about, he was telling Agrippa how he had a vision from heaven and how he was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. And this is several years after that experience, experience at Damascus, that he was still telling Timothy that I am still thanking God for the help of yesteryears. Ladies and gentlemen, you have an advantage in God. That advantage, you need to accept that you need it. That advantage, you need to activate it in different channels that God makes available, and by his grace we're going to use in this season coming up. And then you need to now appreciate when you see the help. When you see anything that looks like small help, make a big deal out of it. Blow it out of proportion. Thank God for it. You remember the story of Elijah, when Elijah told the servant to go and look at the clouds. The Bible said when the servant came back and the servant said, I see the hand of a man. I see clouds like the hand of a man. You know what Elijah did? He said, hey, up, begin to run. I'm going to start thanking God now. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. He did not wait until he saw rain. There are so many people, they are asking God for help. And sometimes he will give them a book. He will give them a relationship. The help has just started in a small... The help has started in a small way. They are not grateful. They are complaining. One of the ways to release the flow of the Holy Spirit, the helper in your life, is joy. And you rejoice on little things, small things. When Jesus was going to increase the 5 loaves and 2 fish, the Bible said he gave thanks. How will you be thanking God for what is not enough? It's when you know how to appreciate God for what is not enough that you'll get what is more than enough. Can somebody say amen to that?